Healthcare this open season.
How are agencies successfully utilizing video technology? Go to the Video Teleconferencing Center at federalnewsradio.com, keyword video, sponsored by Tanberg, now a part of Cisco.
Hey, welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Delighted to have you with us, and we're going to have a really good show today. As you know, the open season for enrolling in a federal health plan ends at close of business December 13th. That's this coming Monday, and that's really, there's not much time left to shop. And if you make a bad choice, you're probably still going to have good health coverage, but you could wind up paying $1,000 or $2,000 more in premiums and out-of-pocket expenses than you need to. My guest today is David Snell. He is Director of Benefits with the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Group. David is a longtime retired Fed, and he's now with NARF, and he's an expert on this. David, are you with us?
I am, Mike. Good morning.
Hey, thank you so much. I got in this morning at 6 o'clock, and I have been emailing you a steady stream of questions from people who, listeners who either can't listen or they want to get an answer on the air. And I hope I sent most of them to you, but because we've got so many, let's cut right to the chase here and go to this, okay?
Okay.
First couple of these two are similar. One is from M in Richmond, and the other is James Gebert. Doesn't say where, but they both say the same thing. Please elaborate on the differences between Blue Cross Standard and Blue Cross Basic. I see the Basic plan is recommended for retirees over the Standard plan, and one says one adds a caveat. It says, when is Blue Cross Standard preferred over Blue Cross Basic if all main doctors are preferred providers? Yeah. And this is a really important question because many federal workers and most federal retirees are in one of the Blue Cross options. So what do you think about them, David?
Well, let me point out first the main differences between the two options. Aside from the fact that you're going to be paying a lot less in premiums for the Blue Cross Basic, for instance, the monthly premium for Blue Cross Standard Family is going to be $431.60, but for the basic, it's $265.49. So that's a big savings right there. The other thing is that under the basic, as your writers suggested, under the basic, you must use preferred providers in order to receive any benefits. If you go outside the preferred provider, Blue Cross Blue Shield will not pay to cover any of those benefits. And the third basic difference, if you will, between the two options is prescription drug coverage. The basic option does not provide mail prescription drug services. You must go to a retailer in order to get your prescription drugs. Outside of that, and outside of a few changes in co-pays are a little higher for some benefits under the basic rather than the standard. Outside of those, however, you still get the coverage for all the benefits under the basic that you would under the standard. And if you're a young federal employee, relatively healthy, or if you're a senior with Medicare Part B coverage, the basic option is a good value for your money.
Very good. Okay, that's a good generic question. Here's one from Monica Hill. She is in Vian, Oklahoma. And she says, what's the best health plan for my husband and myself? The only medical expenses we routinely have are a physical exam every year, and my husband requires 4 prescriptions daily, brand name only, as generics don't seem to work for him. Appreciate assistance, as it seems we are paying so much in premiums, and all we need are 4 90-day prescriptions mail order 4 times a year.
Okay, well, in that case, the Blue Cross Basic is out, but I think what she wants to look at is a plan with fairly low premiums, but good prescription drug coverage for brand name prescription drugs. Some of the plans this year have gone to 4 tiers. They have generic, they have preferred brand name, they have non-preferred brand name, they have specialty drugs. Since she's going to be paying basically for prescription drugs. NALC has a pretty good prescription drug plan,
mm-hmm.
and low copays and co-insurance for their prescription program, and their premiums are reasonable. So I think a good a fee for service plan or an HMO that where you're saving money on premiums every month, but still receiving good benefits for prescription drugs is especially brand name prescription drugs, which can really really jump in price for enrollees, is what she needs to do. Now, I don't have any specific in mind, but I think if she would get the information that the Office of Personnel Management has out there, where she can do a comparison, it would cut the time it takes, and she would still have time to make a choice before Monday comes up.
Very good. Okay, so, but say, look at NALC. Is there any other you would just, brand name you would generically recommend?
For brand names, Blue Cross is still pretty good value for brand names. NALC is good. I would not go with, if the prescription drug, brand name prescription drugs is a major concern, I would not go with GEHA on that because they're a little bit high.
Okay, and Blue Cross, you're talking about standard or?
Talking about standard.
Okay. All right, got another one here, David. Actually, a couple. This is a little complex. Carol Cornwell, but she said, my husband just retired from a union, and I elected not to have government health insurance. She did not have the federal program, but she understands the 5-year rule. That is, you have to have coverage for the 5 years prior to retirement in any of the federal plans. I'm currently 55, will be retiring in 5 to 7 years. I know that in order to have coverage, I need to be in the 5-year rule. Is it cost beneficial for us to carry insurance with the government as well as the union? I've looked at all the plans and I'm thinking of Blue Cross Blue Shield. Actually, that was the subject of my column today. Is the one of the things is the 5-year rule, and the general recommendation, and correct me if I'm wrong, is to get a low premium federal plan just to give you eligibility for coverage when you retire. Is that the rule of thumb?
That's a good rule of thumb, Mike. If she's got good coverage under her husband's non-federal health insurance, she still wants to hedge her bets for later on in retirement. Now's the time that she should be thinking about enrolling in a federal plan, even the least expensive plan, and that way she preserves her rights as a retiree later to expand on that to cover her husband if something happens to his benefits. It's also important to keep in mind that under survivor benefits, if you're deceased, if a federal retiree predeceases their spouse, even if they've left a survivor benefit, if they're not enrolled in the FEHB for family and self at the time of the death, the spouse will not get any health benefits coverage. So,
that's a good point. That's just a lot of people
in the Washington
area. And
that's important to think about.
Absolutely, yeah. Another one here, another question for David Snell. This is from Barbara, and she's with the Census Bureau. Says, I have TRICARE standard as a secondary insurance as a result of my husband's military service. Mail handler's benefit plan standard has been my insurance, and coupled with TRICARE, I've had little to pay out of pocket. For many reasons, I'm switching from mail handlers this year and was wondering if I take standard option GEHA, if TRICARE will still make up the difference at a higher rate to them. In other words, will the net be the same? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the short answer is yes.
Yes.
They will. And I think going from the rather pricey mail handlers to a more reasonable GEHA standard is a very good choice. And, yes, the TRICARE will make up the difference.
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't have to worry about that.
Okay, and mail handlers is one of those that's going up, one of the mail handlers options going up quite a bit this year.
Right.
Here's one from Peter in GSA and says, I read the part about needing to be in the health plan 5 years prior to retirement. Can I switch plans within 5 years of retirement and keep the new plan into retirement, or must I keep the same plan I had 5 years prior to retirement? And the answer is any plan, as long as it's in the FEHBP program, right?
You're absolutely right, Mike. Any plan, any option. If he's got family, he wants to change to another plan, self-only, fine, go ahead and do it. As long as you have that continuous coverage under the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program, 5 years prior to retirement,
you're
okay. You don't even have to be the enrollee. You can be a dependent for part of that 5 years.
Excellent. Okay, and that's good. And again, check my federal report column today on the internet, because it deals with that issue and also ex-spouses and whatnot. I need to take a short break here. I'm talking with David Snell from NARF about health insurance programs. We'll be right back here on 1500 AM.
Here's Brigadier General John A. Davis from the panel discussion on Cyber 2020, the future of the Internet, brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
The military has defined cyberspace and cyberspace operations, and one of the key components in that definition is the interdependence between the information technology systems, the Internet, telecommunications, satellite communications, computer systems, and then the hardware and software that connect it.
To hear the entire show, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
Pressing challenges around issues like cybersecurity, net neutrality, and internet governance have one thing in common. They all exist in cyberspace. Booz Allen Hamilton believes scenario development, strategic planning, and new governance models are key to promote and protect U.S. economic, social, and security interests in cyberspace, while ensuring the openness of the Internet and the privacy of individuals. Booz Allen is ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
Cyber threats have created unprecedented challenges that have never before been addressed. In the past, when an enemy attacked, you could see it and know what damage was incurred. A cyber bullet can attack a country, a financial institution, or a power grid, and we may never know the full impact. What are the issues the public is facing due to cyber threats? What progress is being made? Hear cybersecurity experts discuss this subject and what we need to do to stay vigilant against. Tune into the Why is Cybersecurity So Hard panel, sponsored by Unisys, on December 14th at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio.
Tune in to Fed Central, dedicated to sharing insights and best practices on topics ranging from cybersecurity to sustainability to healthcare reform. Hear straight talk from government leaders and industry specialists on the issues that are shaping how agencies serve their mission and their constituents. Hosted by veteran broadcaster Jane Norris, don't miss Fed Central on the third and fourth Wednesday of the month at 1 p.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Sponsored by Deloitte.
This week on Agency of the Month, featuring the GSA, is brought to you by Commercial Data Systems.
Steve Kemp is the commissioner of the GSA Federal Acquisition Service.
My vision that in 10 years, FAST will be the platform for business of government. I think in the future, we need to be easy to do business with. For industry, that means it will allow you to include your full portfolio of offerings on our contracts, use those contracts to offer the full value of solutions that you have, and an ease of administration of your contract.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Commercial Data Systems is a small disadvantaged information technology systems integrator specializing in virtualization, cross-domain security, and database operations. With more than 25 years of contracting experience, CDS understands how to ease the procurement process for government clients. CDS offers GSA schedule purchasing with over 200,000 commercial off-the-shelf IT products, including a blanket purchase agreement for your Oracle hardware and software needs. To learn more, visit cdsinc.com. That's CDSINC.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. Today, the one-year anniversary of the Obama administration's Transparency and Open Government Initiative. We'll have an assessment of 1 year of open government, what's worked and what hasn't. And we'll continue looking at the big stories of 2010 and how they'll impact your 2011. Today, Patricia Niehaus of the Federal Managers Association this afternoon, 3 to 7. It's on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey talking about health insurance today, the best plan for you and your family. Remember, the open season ends Monday, December 13th. That's close of business, but don't wait until that late date. You may be stuck on the Beltway or hit in the Pismo Beach or something. So you want to get it done right now. And the way to do that is listen to David Snell. He is a director of benefits and retirement at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. David, thanks for coming on today. We got so many emails from people. Gloria Holloway in Tampa Bay. Boy, Gloria, are you smart? It's 22 degrees here, so enjoy yourself in Tampa Bay. She said, I'm a 70-year-old retiree. Even though I've been covered for many years under CHAMP VA and since 65 Medicare too, I've never dropped my federal health insurance. I kept Blue Cross Blue Shield year after year until last year when I switched to mail handlers. Do I really need triple coverage, Medicare, CHAMP VA, and mail handlers? Good question.
She doesn't. Luckily for her, if she wants to keep her Medicare, well, she has to keep it if she's going to have CHAMP VA and Medicare. She can suspend her federal employees' health benefits plan because she is under the CHAMP VA. She can suspend that. She doesn't. That'll keep her from having to pay an additional premium and still get the pretty good coverage under both Medicare and CHAMP VA. Now, you know, CHAMP VA also provides prescription drug coverage, which would be one of those things I'd want to look at first. But, yeah, she probably doesn't need to have all that coverage and especially to pay for that coverage.
Right, and mail handlers is going up pretty dramatically in 2011, isn't it?
Right, and I don't know that she needs to even stay in mail handlers. I think she can, you know, retirees aren't going to get a cost of living this year.
Right.
And they need to do everything they can to save money for other things.
Would Blue Cross Basic be a good fit for her?
If she can keep to their preferred provider organization, yes, that would be a good one. GEHA Standard would be good. Anything other than paying that high mail handlers, I don't know that mail handlers gives you that much more benefit for the premium.
Yeah, well, you've just saved her an awful lot of money there. Then that's good.
Well, yeah.
And I'd forgotten that you can suspend your federal program, so that means you're eligible when you want to go back, but you can't
right.
suspend.
Right. If you're enrolled in TRICARE, if you're enrolled in CHAMP VA, if you're a Peace Corps volunteer, or in Medicaid, you can suspend your federal employees' health benefits program. Stop paying those premiums, and then at a later date, as a retiree, you can re-enroll in the program if you think you need more coverage.
Great. Okay.
Or if you lose some other coverage.
Good. Got one here from AA in with the IRS. I'm considering Aetna for a single for the year 2011, the HD, which is a high deductible option. My health is good. I'm 54, will be 55 next year. A few questions about the plan. What's considered preventive, annual exams, flu shots? What about blood work that's done every 3 to 4 months to verify blood levels? I currently have Blue Cross Basic and have spent under $500, including the deductible. I expect similar health in 2011. Since I'm 55 that year, I'm authorized to put the additional money into my health savings account for those that are 55. What do you think? What's a good deal for her?
Well, I think if she's relatively healthy, the high deductible health plans, along with the either flexible spending account or federal health savings account or any of those things provides a good deal. Now, you know, the employees already get a tax benefit regarding their premiums because those premiums are deducted before taxes from their gross pay. So they're already getting some tax relief. The high deductible consumer health plans also offer a way to get some tax-free money in there. The flexible spending accounts, which is also open season for those, also allow employees to save money, tax-free money, and use it in three different ways. under three different programs. If she wants to go to that Aetna consumer-driven high deductible health plan, if she's in fairly good health, I think that'd be a good choice. She still gets good benefits. Catastrophic limits are very high, but it doesn't sound like that's going to be a problem for her. The question about what's preventable, usually, I don't know what the blood test she's referring to is for, but I wouldn't think that would be what's considered to be preventable services. I think the routine checkups, and immunizations against general flu and that sort of thing would be included. But
right, and they're not the flu shot's not that expensive anyhow.
No, they're not that expensive. You can go into CVS or something.
And the annual exams, isn't that something that all the health plans are going to be doing now?
Yeah, right.
Okay,
under the Health Care Reform Act.
Yeah.
I just want to say at this point, mm-hmm. Mike, we've got less than a week to go on this as far as the open season. For employees, the materials they need to, the brochures and materials they need in order to really look at the plans in detail are available at their agency's human resources. For retirees, of course, the Office of Personnel Management serves as their personnel and payroll office. And this year, the notice came regarding the open season for retirees. The notice was sent by OPM in two different ways. One was a mailer, which was a lot different than what retirees had seen in the past. And the other one was by email. If OPM,
if they've got your address,
had their email address.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've been out and about, and some of the retirees have either missed the flyer in their mailbox, looked at it, didn't know what it was. But it's still not too late to get this information, and I want to just let retirees out there know that they can either call the open season express line. It's a toll-free number. It's 1-800-332-9798 in order to get more open season information sent to them. Or they can go online at retireefehb.opm.gov. Now, when they're requesting materials or if they have online capability, I would suggest look at the Guide to Federal Benefits, Form RI-70-1, that is very inclusive about all the plans available to people, as well as the programs available to them. That same booklet is available to retirees. It's a 70-9, RI-70-9. These can be downloaded from the OPM website.
Okay, Dave, we're going to put that up on our website. We need to take a short break here. We'll be right back on 1500 AM.
Right.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
The underlying battle is trying to lay out the framework for how we're going to deliver services over the internet without saturating the backbone and do it in a way that you don't censor the internet, which is what net neutrality is getting at, but simply try to moderate bandwidth in a way which is fair.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Looking for high-flying excitement for your group in the heart of the nation's capital? Easily accessible by metro or by car, get the thrill of college hoops right here in Foggy Bottom. Your organization can enjoy a special discounted group rate and watch the Colonials in their quest for the Atlantic 10 Championship. For rates, dates, and more information, visit www.gwsports.com or call 202-994-6050. That's 202-994-6050.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at BreakDownTheWalls.com.
If you work for or have worked for the federal government, I want to tell you about an organization that's been around for over 80 years. It's NARF. Organized in 1921 to protect and enhance the retirement and health benefits of federal employees, NARF wants you to know that laws can change and so can your retirement security. Protect it by joining NARF, the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. That's www.narfe.org. Or call 1-800-627-3394 and ask them to send you some information. Join now. NARF, your best retirement investment.
Celebrate the holidays with Caps Holiday Packs. Caps Holiday Packs include a ticket to an exciting Caps game, a limited edition Alex Ovechkin bobblehead doll wearing the Winter Classic uniform, a Caps hat, and much more. Packages start at only $89 and are moving fast. To get yours, log on to WashingtonCaps.com/holidaypacks. Text CAPSTICKS to 43803. Or call 202-266-CAPS now and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with David Snell of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, talking about the health insurance open season. As you probably know, it ends December 13th. That's Monday, and technically, it ends at close of business, but this is the kind of thing you really need to do a little homework on, and don't wait until the last minute and then just put a blindfold on it and put your eyes out. David, we got a question here. I think I sent it to you. It's from Marshall Potter, and it's very long. It's about analyzing plans, and I wondered if I could ask you to answer it to him directly off the air.
Well,
we can do it because it is linked. Just reading it would take a couple of minutes.
I know. Yeah,
but
right.
Let me go to a couple of others here. I'm a retired Fed who turned 65 this year but did not enroll in Medicare. I'm concerned about the growing number of doctors who no longer accept Medicare patients. But I'm well aware that my current plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield, simply reimburses providers at the Medicare rate, even though I'm technically not participating. Does my staying out of Medicare make any sense at all? According to what Blue Cross has told me, all of the FEHBP plans are required to reimburse at Medicare rates for retirees in my situation. Bottom line, would you advise me to enroll in Medicare during the current open season? And if so, just Part A or both Parts A and B, continue to carry on without Medicare, switch to a different plan. Note, my spouse won't be under Medicare for another 6 years and is happy with Blue Cross Blue Shield. So that's pretty complicated.
Well, that's pretty complicated, but it's also a question we get a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he's not under Part A already. That's an automatic at age 65 and doesn't cost you anything and takes care of your hospitalization before the FEHB kicks in. The Medicare Part B is the one that's optional, and cost of premium. The premium for 2011 is going to be for about 30% of the Medicare recipients, mainly federal retirees who have no Social Security eligibility. It's going to be $115.40 a month. That's over $1,300 a year. So if you're not using your health plan a lot, I mean, if you're in pretty good health, you're using it for routine things, you're already paying a good premium every month as a retiree. There's no need, my opinion, to go jumping into Medicare Part B.
Save that $115 a month.
Save that $115 a month and put it toward something else. If a year or two goes by and you decide that you want to have that additional insurance, I know, Mike, we've talked about this a lot, and you're a belt and suspenders guy.
Yeah.
You'd like to have it. You'd like to have as much coverage as you can get just to be on the safe side. And that's good. If it helps you sleep at night to have mm-hmm. that coverage, great. Go ahead. It's worth $115.40 a month. But I was saying that if you want to delay, save that money, $1,300 plus a month, a year,
mm-hmm.
And save it for a couple of years, and then decide you want to go into Medicare Part B. They do have an open enrollment every year. It's going to cost you a little bit more. There's a 10% surcharge for every 12 months you didn't enroll that you could have been. But look at the money you saved in the meantime. And I think in this gentleman's case, it sounds to me like there's no need for him to go ahead and enroll in the Medicare Part B right away.
Good. Okay. All right. Got another one here. It says, can I have a quick question for Mr. Snell? I would like to know his recommendation for the best deal for a young family of four, two young children in elementary school, two working parents in their 40s. What's the best, and also, what's the best dental supplement?
Okay, well.
So best plan for first family plan, right?
Yeah, first the family plan. Well, I think... I don't know where he lives. An HMO is a good plan. Problem is that there are 13 states now without any HMOs.
You know, I think he's local because there's, okay. I don't want to give his name, but it's a Voice of America email,
well,
so he must be local.
If they're in the Washington area, they have the same number of HMOs. I think there's six of them in this area. In the Washington, D.C. area that he can choose from. And he ought to look at those. If he can stay with the preferred providers, the HMO network of hospitals and doctors, for routine and for preventive care, HMOs are very good. And a young family, I think, would do well with an HMO. Of course, you have to... You don't have the leeway of choosing which doctors
right.
you want to see and that sort of thing. If that's important, then I think probably one of the fee-for-service nationwide standard plans. I don't know that unless he's got a lot, his children are very costly or his spouse is costly or he's costly.
It didn't seem to be that. It didn't.
Medical problems, then I think... Stay with a standard, not a high option type of
right.
fee for service.
Well, and the other thing too has been pointed out: check with your doctor's office, not the doctor him or herself, but somebody in the office that handles the billing, and find out what networks they're going to be in next year. And they may be in several plans, and that would, if you've got a favorite doctor and they're in one or two plans, go with those. Need to take a short break here, and we can answer the question about the best dental supplement when we come back here on 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Dell, and AVIEW Technologies. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Leading the way to better vision, United Healthcare Vision understands the importance of good eyesight for you and your family. That's why their vision programs offer federal enrollees and their families a convenient mix of independent and retail providers and industry-leading benefits for glasses, contacts, and discounts on LASIK procedures. United Healthcare Vision is the clear choice. In fact, 9 out of 10 United Healthcare Vision Fed VIP members would recommend their plan to family and friends. The Fed VIP open season period for federal employees and retirees runs through December 13th. Don't miss out on this opportunity to protect your most precious gift, the gift of sight. For more information about their benefit plans and how to enroll, visit United Healthcare Vision at myuhcvision.com/fedvip. That's myuhcvision.com/fedvip. If you want industry-leading vision benefits and a convenient provider network, look no further than United Healthcare. This open season.
The Dorabeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorabeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorabeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorabeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Mike Causey here. Welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with David Snell. He's with the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. David, a plug for NARF. Your magazine, your November and December issues of the magazine are just excellent as far as health coverage is concerned. Is there a way that non-members could get a look at that magazine?
No.
Okay. The short answer, no. Yeah, I mean, I know people who belong to NARF and they don't use any of the discounts. They're aware of the lobbying, but they just get it for the magazine. But it's worth checking out. Now, the question from our Voice of America listener was about, I think you answered it, about best deal for a family. Talking about an HMO their favorite doctors and find out if the doctors are in a network. And
yeah, that was a good point. That
yeah,
was
might,
a good point, Mike.
Might influence them, and they could go with a fee for service plan too. He asks about what's the best dental supplement plan. Can you deal with that?
Well, yeah. The federal program, the Federal Dental and Vision Program, offers a good selection of both dental and vision. Now, keeping in mind that it's not going to, you know, these plans are not meant to pay your bills in entirety. They're just meant to pretty much take the sting out of, you know, high dental and vision costs. But in looking, we're talking about a family of four here. He's got young children, I think he said. And, I think, for his purposes here in the, Maryland, D.C. area, if he's indeed here, that the Humana, comp benefits would probably be a good deal. And I say that because there's a fixed copay for each service, which is always better than, having a co-insurance, and it's the only plan without a waiting period for orthodonture services. It's got an annual maximum benefit of $10,000, which is much higher than the other plan. So, you know, a young family like his, young children, and children are costly as far as dental care go.
Maybe that'd be a good time to discuss flexible spending accounts, because I suspect a lot of people have heard of it, but they confuse them with health savings accounts and high deductibles and consumer driven and all that. What's a flexible spending account? What's the advantage, and what are the dollar limits on it?
Okay, the advantage, of course, is a flexible spending account. You're saving your own money, okay, but the advantage is you can save it tax free. put it into a, open up a flexible savings account, and use that that money that you're saving in one of three ways. There's a plan for child care that you can use your money toward that. There's one for medical expenses. You can pay your co-payments and co-insurance using your flexible spending account money. And then there's a mixed bag that you can also use it for. So for employees, it's kind of like saving and letting you use your dollars the way you'd like to. There is a limit. There's a minimum and a maximum. I think it's $250 is the minimum to open up the account. And you can put $5,000 in per year. Now, these accounts, you have 14 months to use them, but you have to re-enroll every year in the flexible spending accounts. But many people find it to be a good way to pay for those incidentals, have the money available, and it's tax-free.
Well, if you have something, if you have a known expense, you know, like look at what you spent this year on prescription drugs out of pocket, or what you spent on anything. And also, I would think for dental work, this would be ideal.
Absolutely.
You have a big dental bill coming. You know it's coming up in the next year.
Right.
You could set aside up to $5,000 for that.
And that's right. That's
with the tax break, you're getting a tax break to begin with, and then you're getting the services at a 30% discount depending on your tax rate.
Absolutely, it's a great program for young active federal employees to have.
Yeah, okay.
If they got families.
Okay, now flexible spending accounts are not available to retirees. Is that correct?
That's correct. There are health savings accounts available to retirees, but. A lot of this is mandated by IRS rulings as far because of the tax-free implications. And for retirees, they're allowed to have health savings accounts, which are similar but not exactly like flexible spending accounts. But the employees can have those flexible spending accounts enroll in, you know, the consumer-driven high option, high deductible health plans too.
Okay, here's one. I think I know what you're going to say, but the listener asks that she's retired. Her husband is still working. Obviously, they have a family plan. Which one of them should enroll in it? Should she as the retiree or he as the worker? And if there's a reason why?
Okay. Well, you and I know the answer to that. The employee should be the enrollee. And why? Because there's something called premium conversion in which the premiums for federal employees are deducted from their pay before taxes. So basically you're at $200 a month or payday, $400 a month, whatever, is tax-free. It's reducing your taxable amount by that much. And on a yearly basis, that's a pretty good deal.
That's a no-brainer. Have the working spouse do it. Take a short break here on 1500 and be right back with David Snell from NARF.
Join host Michael Keegan next week for the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. How can government cut costs and improve performance? How are disruptive innovations saving lives on the battlefield and expanding our presence in space? What is the U.S. Postal Service doing to reduce its carbon footprint? How are federal agencies becoming more transparent and open? And how are state and local governments doing more with less? Tune in to the Business of Government magazine next week and find out.
Here's Robert Kahn, Ph.D., from the panel discussion on Cyber 2020, the future of the Internet, brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
And so when you have discussions like net neutrality, they were really not about the Internet, even though they were often claimed to be, because they weren't really challenging the protocols and procedures. They were really talking about policies that ought to apply to specific components of the Internet, like a communication service provider.
To hear the entire show, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
Pressing challenges around issues like cybersecurity, net neutrality, and Internet governance have one thing in common. They all exist in cyberspace. Booz Allen Hamilton believes scenario development, strategic planning, and new governance models are key to promote and protect U.S. economic, social, and security interests in cyberspace, while ensuring the openness of the Internet and the privacy of individuals. Booz Allen is ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
You should never be constrained by your network. That's why government agencies turn to Avaya Government Solutions and Verizon. Their data networking portfolio offers reliable, secure, end-to-end solutions needed to fully recognize the power of real-time communications. Solutions from Avaya and Verizon deliver innovative technology, energy-efficient hardware, and improve the effectiveness of business by creating a simpler, more effective network. The future of data networking has arrived. Learn more at avayagov.com/GSA2010.
Tune in to Fed Central, dedicated to sharing insights and best practices on topics ranging from cybersecurity to sustainability to healthcare reform. Hear straight talk from government leaders and industry specialists on the issues that are shaping how agencies serve their mission and their constituents. Hosted by veteran broadcaster Jane Norris, don't miss Fed Central on the third and fourth Wednesday of the month at 1 p.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Sponsored by Deloitte.
Plan now to attend a firm's December 16th luncheon to discuss how federal agencies are in a race to the finish line to implement Internet Protocol Version 6, learn how to comply with the administration's mandate, and hear from key government officials leading the charge. That's December 16th at 11:30 a.m. at the Hamilton Crown Hotel in Washington, D.C. Register today at www.affirm.org.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and I've been talking with David Snell. He is the Director of Benefits and Insurance Expert for the National Active and Retired Federal Employees. And David, we mentioned before the benefits of premium conversion, and President Clinton permitted that for federal workers. I did it by executive order. But in order for retirees to get the benefit of premium conversion, that is paying their health insurance premiums in pre-tax dollars, it would require an act of Congress. Is that right?
It certainly would. And while NARF and other organizations have been lobbying, we still have not seen that for the federal retirees. And the way things are going with the Deficit Commission and the ideas that are being floated around in Congress, you may not see it for employees in the future at some point. But until that time, we'll continue to do what we think is fair, which is if employees have that generous tax benefit, then the retirees should have it too.
Yeah. Now, the retirees for this January 2011 will be the second year in a row that federal retirees and people who get Social Security and people who get military retired pay won't be getting a cost of living adjustment.
Right.
Because inflation is low, or we've had periods of deflation. What do you hear from the Deficit Commission about this sort of thing? Wasn't it one of their proposals to limit COLAs for federal retirees to when they start to become age 62?
Yes, they put a lot of draconian measures in there. They, a couple of things: limit the cost of living adjustments, or freeze them, or do without them for a year or two or more. Have the government pay less in share of the health benefit premiums. Those sort of things come to mind, and of course, this is not good. Now the employees themselves are looking at least a 1 or 2 year pay freeze, and so while we've been concerned about the retirees not seeing any adjustment in their now employees may have that same problem, so they. Employees also have to watch their pennies and plan ahead carefully.
Well, there's another thing in this. That apparently, the president has proposed a 2% reduction in the Social Security tax for 2011. that most people pay, but I've heard from a number of people under the old civil service retirement system, they don't pay into Social Security. So they say this is adding insult to injury. Not only are they going to get a pay freeze,
right,
probably, but they're also not going to get this 2% tax break, which or pay raise that may be available for other people.
Yeah, that's what it amounts to. If they're going to reduce the amount of Social Security tax being withheld for employees by 2%, that's almost like a 2% pay raise.
Dave, we got a caller on the line. Let me.
Okay.
Hi, are you with us?
Yes.
Yeah, where are you calling from, please?
Washington, D.C. area.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Well, I'm a retired civil servant, plus I'm a retired military, so I have both TRICARE and the health care under my civil service retirement. And I was wondering if you could tell me what might be my best plan to choose under the FEHB program that would not impact my TRICARE, but also give me the best options under both.
You called the right guy, and that is not me. David?
Well, okay. You've got the. Are you eligible for Medicare?
I won't be eligible for Medicare for about 2 more years.
Okay. So then it becomes TRICARE for life, and you have to enroll in Medicare A and B in order to have that. So we're just talking about the next year or two until you're in that situation. So far, most of your medical benefits have been pretty well taken care of between the two, FEHB and the TRICARE?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I don't know what plan you're currently in. If you can find a plan that if you're paying more in premiums than you should be, you might just look at some of the plans available that you can save a little money out of your pocket.
What plan are you in now, sir?
MDIPA.
Okay, that's an HMO.
Oh, you're in an HMO. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. MDIPA is... You got family under that?
No, I do not. In fact, my spouse is a federal employee as well.
Well, great. I hope she's the enrollee. But you say you have a self-only under MDIPA, and you're retired, so you're going to be paying $132 a month,
right,
in 2011.
And be sure, as David said, she's the enrollee, you know, because you get that tax break.
Yeah, but it sounds to me like they have single, they're enrolled, each of them,
that's correct,
in a self-only. So you might think about her going to a self-family and save some tax money on your premiums. But
we got to wrap it up here. Thank you very much for the call. Thanks, David Snell, for being with us. And remember, open season ends, close of business, December 13th. That's next Monday. But don't wait for that. And remember, all of our shows here, particularly the last four, which have been about health plans, are archived on our homepage. So have a good week. We'll see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m.
The Congressional Spotlight on Federal News Radio is presented by AT&T, investing in its network today to connect America's small businesses to the dreams of tomorrow. AT&T, your world delivered.
Here's Nigel Ballard, Manager, Director of Federal Marketing at Intel, on the Federal Teleworking Panel sponsored by FedsTelework.com, HP, Intel, and Microsoft.
Our people may have to connect from a coffee shop in Tasmania. And how do they do that? They create a VPN tunnel. And it's just like they're there. And now we use video conferencing and all those kind of instant messenger technologies built into our Office 2010. And I do not need to get my car out of the garage and go into an office to be fully functioning.
If you haven't heard, the 2010 Telework Enhancement Act passed recently. FedScoop's Feds Telework recent panel discussion can give you the information you need to implement an effective telework program within your agency. Go to FedsTelework.com to view videos from top Fed execs, read more on telework resources, and be social with Feds Telework. Find telework solutions for security, mobility, and productivity from HP, Intel, and Microsoft. Work is something you do, not somewhere you go. Learn about the future of telework at FedsTelework.com. Texas.com.
Get the taste of Texas for half price at Austin Grill. Enjoy $30 worth of authentic Tex-Mex cuisine for only $15 at Austin Grill. Try some authentic Austin Grill favorites.